Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 205 of our year of the Bible, looking at Isaiah chapters 35 through 37, chapters 36 and 37, you might remember. You might remember from an earlier, from reading in the second book of Kings. But I want to start a little bit with chapter 35, which is this sort of beautiful passage of the description of the joy of the redeemed. And it's not only the redeemed people, though it is a redeemed people, but a redeemed creation. And this is one of the things that we've talked about before, that when we talk about the day of the Lord, and then the day after the day of the Lord, if you will, it describes the joy of the people and the lack of sickness and the wiping away the tears and all that kind of stuff. And it also describes how that redemption is reflected in the natural world. And so you get it here in chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. So some anthropomorphism about the desert. Everything is going to burst into bloom. The natural world will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. And then it talks about the humans, something that we talked about otherwise. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The lame will leap for joy, and so forth. So great stuff. We've talked about how the first half of the book of Isaiah tends to be a lot of judgment, and that's true in terms of differentiating it from the second part, chapters 40 through 66. But we've also mentioned how even there, even in this first part, there are these moments of grace and sort of these moments of beauty. And one of them is here in chapter 35. And I wanted to point out verse 8, talking about this redeemed world, this rejoicing nature. It says, "And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way." A highway, now we think of a highway like 476, which is awful and which I avoid at every opportunity, which there are unfortunately not a ton. But there were no highways back then, right? We take for granted that we can get on, get on the highway, and I could be in Vermont by dinner time. I could be in Vermont by lunchtime, to be honest, if I got moving in the morning. But obviously there was none of that then. There was no internal combustion engines. There was no paved roads. The roads were bad. Were they as bad as some of our roads? Can you believe it? That they were worse. They were actually worse. And so this description of a highway, the Hebrew word is actually highway. It will be a way that is high. What's the benefit of a highway? That it doesn't collect water. It doesn't flood out. It doesn't erode away or anything like that. Rather, it's this road that you're going to be able to travel. This road that's going to be smooth, right? This road that can get you where you want to go. And it's going to be called the way of holiness. And it will be for all those who walk on that way. Now, isn't that a funny kind of, you might say, paradox? It will be for those who walk on that way, right? The highway will be for those who drive on the highway. You're like, well, I mean, yeah, obviously, right? But the point is, not everybody might want to be on that highway for whatever reason, and so they will not. Now, maybe they're wicked fools, says the scripture. But the point is that the way of holiness is open for all people. Like, to get on the way of, the way that you get on the way of holiness is by getting on the way of holiness, right? Imagine that there is a toll booth, right? And there is a toll booth to get on the highway of holiness. There's a toll booth there, and you get there. Now, unfortunately, some of us don't have any money. Literal money, or we don't have the merits, we don't have the ability, we're not holy already, right? So what are we going to do? We're going to get to this toll booth, and the price is high. The price of holiness is high. to get on the highway. So what are we going to do? We've got it. Well, here's the thing. Our toll to get on this way of holiness has already been paid by Jesus. So we get in our car and we head up to the toll booth and we say, the toll is $1 trillion. I don't have it. You know, I only have two nickels to rub together to my name. So listen to this. The $1 trillion has already been paid for you. Somebody came along 2,000 years ago that you don't know, you've never met, but he paid the toll for you. And so the way that you get on the way of holiness is by getting on the way of holiness, right? We've been invited to it. And it is a high way for our God. Now, here's an example of sort of what that looks like. That's sort of beautiful. In chapters 36 and 37, it's all about when Hezekiah was the king. This is back in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles as well. You can tell that they recorded it in the scriptures three times. It means they thought it was a pretty important thing. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So you've got Jerusalem there, but then in Judah, you also have these other fortified towns, like garrison towns, like towns that have forts and soldiers. And Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and conquered all of them, right? So the defenses for Jerusalem were all conquered by Assyria, by Sennacherib. And so Sennacherib makes it to the walls of Jerusalem and starts saying, "We're gonna take over Jerusalem. All right, everybody, you know, come along with us, people in Jerusalem." And Hezekiah says, yo, stop talking to my people. Stop talking to my people on the walls. They're going to go with you. And Sennacherib says, no, you're going to be wiped out, and gives him a letter that says, you know, you're going to be wiped out. And Hezekiah takes the letter and goes to the temple, right? Goes to the temple of the Lord and spreads the letter out. And I made a big deal about this the last two times we read it, but I could, just because I think it's so beautiful and so apt. Spreads, you know, goes to the temple, spreads out the letter. It says in front of the Lord, right? Spreads out the letter and says, and like does this prayer. Like he like prays. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, what should I do? This is gonna be bad. And the Lord, so verses 14 and on is this prayer of Hezekiah. You alone are the king over all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Listen to what he said. Listen to what Sennacherib has said to ridicule you, because that is what what Sennacherib had done. Sennacherib said, you're calling on Yahweh, but yo, all the people I've conquered have called on their gods. What makes you think, you know, your God's going to come to your defense when none of the other gods have come to your defense and have come to their defense? And so Hezekiah says, look, he's making fun of you. He's saying you're a god like all the other gods. And the Lord, Isaiah prophesies the word of the Lord and says, because you have prayed to me, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against Sennacherib. And basically, you're dead meat, right? You're dead meat. It's going to be bad for you. Your agriculture is going to go bad. Everything's going to be bad. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 Assyrians. When the people got up the next morning, there were all these dead bodies, right? So Sennacherib broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. What's different here than some of those other situations? What's different here is Hezekiah went to the Lord. He didn't put his trust in chariots. He didn't put his trust in horses. He was not militarily equipped to fight against Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And so he went to God and he prayed, like in his desperation. And isn't this what we do? Like most of the time we figure we can handle things ourselves and we'll just figure it out ourselves. In his desperation, in Hezekiah's desperation, he finally went to Yahweh. And I just love that. He spread out the letters in front of God and said, what am I going to do? And the Lord took care of it. So here's the thing. You keep a story like this in your scriptures because you want to keep reminding people, do not put your trust in horses and chariots, put your trust in the Lord. Here is a story of that happening, and it was an absolutely, it was just an insane victory. That was the result. And it even gets worse for Sennacherib, and this is recorded in the other scriptures too. One day while he was worshiping the temple of his god Nisroch, right? His sons killed him. Which is just a humiliating way to go. And so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, right, who has conquered all of these lands, like the Assyrian Empire, the Neo-Assyrian Empire is known, right, in the ancient world as being one of the world historical great powers. And little old Jerusalem escaped from them, defeated their army, right? I mean, Jerusalem didn't defeat their army, but Judah, Jerusalem's God defeated their army, sent him home in disgrace, and then Sennacherib ends up being assassinated with his sons, being humiliated. Assyria gets humiliated here in this particular campaign. So there you go. I mean, it's a beautiful story. I just think it's great. Trust in the Lord. You know, and if it takes getting to desperation, that's okay too. When you get to your low point, go to the Lord. It's okay. It's all right. You might not have done it so far, and you know, think, oh, I should have gone to the Lord earlier. Yeah, we should have, but we didn't. And so, you know, the best time, you know, it's like they say, the best time to go to the Lord was yesterday. The second best time is today. So let's do that. Let's do that. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.